Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein, and I'm joined by John Mark Walker and Walter Tessman of Red Hat. Hi, guys.
Hey. Hi. Thank you, Allison.
So why don't we start with describing what you do at Red Hat and your experience in the tech industry?
Certainly. Well, right now I'm the Gluster community leader. And what that means is I'm essentially the general manager for the Gluster community. I oversee all sort of build out of users and developers and grow the Gluster community as large as it can be. This is a little bit different how we build the community at Red Hat in that we really look to infuse our communities with their own identity. Mm-hmm. And so it's not so much a subset of Red Hat as it is its own identity and free to grow as large as it can. And in fact, we want to grow it as large as we can to the point even of becoming, you know, larger than Red Hat itself.
And what is the primary focus for those in the audience that aren't familiar with the Gluster community, about what the Gluster community is all about?
Sure. The Gluster community is the home of GlusterFS, which is a scale-out distributed storage platform. It's purpose-built for things like cloud storage, for virtualization storage, or even for just bare metal file serving. But essentially, it's a scale-out architecture. It can go up to multiple petabytes, and it's made to be as elastic as you need it to be to grow with you as your needs grow in the cloud, as they always do. Storage, I think, year over year is averaging out to double in size, and so you need a storage platform that can grow with you on demand.
If you looked at cloud storage versus traditional enterprise storage, you know, obviously there's the scale associated with cloud, but are there other attributes about cloud storage that needs different treatment?
What we're really talking about here is agility. Agility and the ability to fit within the automated data center. The traditional proprietary approaches don't work here because you're talking about these closed source black boxes, and the ability to fit in a completely automated data center that's very agile is very difficult because once you set up your SAN, you're essentially locked into that platform. Right. Whereas everything else in the data center is going to a much more agile, automated, open source, scale out architecture. If you look at the last 10 to 15 years in the data center, the winners have been those who have bet their business on open source, on automation, and on agility. Whereas the ones who haven't bet on that have not fared so well. And going forward, you know, that trend does not look to be abated anytime soon. And so when you think about being able to scale out your data center and to be as agile as you need to meet your business needs, it has to be an open source solution. It has to be a solution that fits within whatever automation tools that you're building around it, whatever orchestration tools you're using in conjunction with it. And the only thing that fits there is an open source scale out storage solution. The reason it took so long to get us to this point is that when you're talking about dealing with data, whereas with compute, you can lose a couple nodes and big deal, you can just spin them back up and you're back where you started from. With data and you lose your business. And so naturally, a lot of data center operators are much more conservative when it comes to storage platforms. And that's the reason that they were, I think, more reluctant to move away from the old SAN or NAS systems that they became used to.
Do you think that the public cloud providers are the primary deployers of these new types of solutions, or do you see this in enterprise as well?
We see them in both. The public cloud people are sort of the testing bed for all this stuff. They were the early adopters. They were the first to market with a lot of this stuff, and they kind of led the way. But everyone else is really following very, very closely. You look at what Netflix is doing, for example. You know, Netflix has a scaled architecture. A lot of it is based on Amazon Web Services. They're deploying all this open source technology for storage, for data distribution, for streaming services, for actually cluster management as well. And it's really amazing what they've been able to do on a completely open source architecture. You know, public services lead the way just because they have to be massively scaled out. But on the enterprise, you know, in companies that you would think of as being, you know, stodgy, old, and conservative, banks, for example, they're also following very closely on the heels of these public cloud guys. They're the ones experimenting with large deployments of OpenStack-based clouds that they're using for their, you know, internal business. And that's something you didn't see 5 to 10 years ago.
With the goals that you have around Gluster, what is the role of developing a relationship with the developer ecosystem?
One of the great things about an open source architecture and an open system of development, doing development in the open, is that it's easy for other contributors to come in and leave their imprint on the community and on the ecosystem. And one of the things that we've done to enable that is the Gluster Community Forge at forge.gluster.org, where anyone can start a new project, or participate in an existing project, or download software to more complete their solution in-house. One of the things we noticed about a year or two ago was that there's all this activity happening elsewhere on other, you know, say developer platforms, where people were building tools and things that were related to GlusterFS, but not necessarily part of the core product. And what we found was that when we created this single place, when we gathered all these tools into a single place where everyone could find it, it accelerated the activity and made it easier for these people to find each other and for the ecosystem to grow and be more vibrant. And that has been a very key development over the last 6 months to a year, is finding these things, enabling these developers to do what they do.
And obviously everybody talks about analytics and big data. And I guess one question that I have is, you know, one of the challenges as we grow our collective data around the planet is getting the data close enough to the compute to actually do the analytics. What do you see in terms of trends in that?
We see a great convergence at play between compute and storage to the point where it's almost inseparable. What we're finding is that when you talk about one of the things that software-defined storage allows you to do, and in particular open-source software-defined storage, it allows you to experiment with these things in ways that you couldn't do previously. Now it's up to you to define how you want to construct your storage architecture and compute architecture, as opposed to that being, you know, driven at you by your vendor. And so one of the things you can do is you can run, you know, storage resident applications, and you can make the changes you need in your orchestration layer to move the compute to the data and vice versa. One of our goals is to create intelligent storage so that you have data locality that's part and parcel of every storage rollout, and so that we can more easily move the compute to your data. Since we're talking about distributed architecture here and a replicated architecture, you can talk about, you know, having the hot storage be closer to where your compute site is running. So it's both. We have to make it easier for the compute to reside on the storage plane itself, as well as make it easier to locate the hot areas of storage and make that more accessible to your compute side.
You guys recently completed a reference architecture on the solution for the Intel Cloud Builders program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so as John Mark was saying, what we saw with the mega service providers and them being the leaders and pioneers in actually extending the capabilities of storage and having tens of thousands of servers and even thousands of servers shipped to them every day, we saw an opportunity to map that out with Intel on Intel architectures and create this roadmap for smaller deployments, such as hospitals or any enterprise that could look at this architecture, follow a step-by-step process, and be successful in their deployment.
If we've got folks online that are interested in learning more about Gluster and about Red Hat storage solutions, where would you guys point them?
Well, there are a couple places. You can go to gluster.org, and you can find out all about the Gluster community. And then there's also redhat.com.
Yes, redhat.com/liberate.
Fantastic. Well, guys, thank you so much for being on the program today. You can actually follow John Mark at John Mark on Twitter as well. And
yes, you can.
Let's continue the conversation. Thanks so much for being on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm.